Well, good morning. As Steve was reading, I was looking outside, and things are getting wider and wider and wider. Heads up, Youth Connection, there's a possibility that we might be canceling, so we're going to have to talk about that after church today. Wonderful to be here with you. It's great to hear the Word. Thank you, Steve. I always enjoy listening to the reading of the Word. It's a good thing. Just to hear His Word being spoken out loud, and it penetrates our hearts. And that's what we ask that He'll do. And that's what we need in our lives as well. State of the Union address, usually that has to do with politics, and that every year the President of the United States will give a State of the Union address either in January or February, and they will share some concerns, some issues in the country, and then they will also start talking about how they can believe that they can solve these problems, and then they give some hope for the future, which is a good thing. The State of the Union address actually can be a very good thing. And I don't know about you, but we've had State of Family addresses before. Have you ever had that, Jeff, Shannon? To where you gather your family together and you go, well, this is how things are going, guys, and this is maybe some things we need to change, and why am I getting smiles? And things like that, because you've probably been involved in these things, yeah? And then, of course, give a little bit of hope. Yeah, but this is going to be, this is what we're going for, you know? So this is, you know, it's a good thing. It's not a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing, and it's something that we should appreciate as well. And, you know, in the context of this, remember now, the leadership of the judges, okay, and we're talking from, Gideon wasn't the first one. I can't remember all the names of the Othniel or some of these other guys who were some of the first judges that God sent to deliver His people from oppression. They've been under this type of leadership for 500 years or around that. So it's been a long time. Okay. So we have to remember that. Now they just had this great victory over Nahash and the Ammonites. And so they were going, oh yeah, all right. This is great. And, but, you know, Samuel, he's a smart guy. You know, he's got wisdom, you know, from the Lord, I believe. And he takes these opportunities to say, well, let's renew this kingship, you know. And they're saying, yeah, let's renew this kingship. See, there's a difference between now, there's a changing now to from a judge. He is a judge is somebody that God just raises up for such a time as these. Okay. There's nothing more than that. He chooses them and he sends them and he empowers them to get it done. All right. Now, a king is a little bit differently because now a king is not just a leader, but it's also a family line. See, it's not, it starts with that king and it goes, now it's attached to their family, their descendants from then on. Okay. So it's a change in that way that I could see. And there's probably some other ones too, but to me, that's the way I look at it. So there's a little bit different in that. And also, as has been warned, when man becomes king and has got power, and you know, the more power you have, the more corrupted you become. That's human nature. So there's always issues with that. And Samuel's now going to give a state of address to kind of address these things. See, you know, how the nation is doing. He's going to review that. But, you know, he does something even more incredible. He starts with himself. Pretty bold. In fact, as I've been reading and going through these scriptures and going through this, and I hope you've been picking up too, this too, Samuel is certainly one of the greatest leaders of Israel, if not the greatest. I always thought Moses was, but Samuel's got my attention now because God is really moving through him and speaking through him, and he has, we're going to see here how he lived, has been living his life and serving the Lord. Let's pray before we go on. Lord God, we do give this time to you, and we thank you that we can open up your word and receive it. I pray that it is your Holy Spirit that speaks through me, that you give me words that will bring honor and glory to your name, and that you will guide us, Lord, that you'll open our hearts and teach us things that you want us to learn and take with us for our next steps in life, Lord, for our moment to moment, our breath to breath, heartbeat to heartbeat lives that we live, Lord, in your sustaining grace. So I pray that you will bring this word alive in each one of us so we can not just listen to it, but that we can live it out to bring honor and glory to your name. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So this turns into kind of a court case, a court trial. Have you noticed that? Because first of all, Samuel says, well, here I stand. Testify against me. You know, have I done this? Have I taken bribes? Have I taken things from you? You know, have I cheated you? You know, he just puts it all out there. You know, he is being transparent. My sons are with me, and we know that his sons aren't the same as his dad. I mean, as he is, right? You know, his sons have chosen another path that we understand is not a godly path at this point. And God can change them and turn them around. But, you know, remember now, the judge is not like a king. It doesn't, the authority to be judged doesn't pass to his sons automatically. You know, God appoints his judges. So, but he's just being transparent. You know, how bold that is. Would you do that? You're given a state. How do you like to see the President of the United States get up there and just go, oh, this is the way I am, guys? You know, did I oppress anybody? Did I cheat anybody? Did I take anything from you? Well, and look at my sons and my daughters. And I'm not talking about just a present president. All right, I'm talking about everyone because they're human. And to be so bold, you're putting yourself on a line. But you can see his heart in this too. Because he wants to, he's teaching them something. He's going to show them something that's really important. Because Samuel's heart is for the people, but he's also for the people to get back into that covenant relationship with the Lord again. That's where his heart is. That's where his heart is. And he sees them starting to fall away again. They're falling away, so he's trying to steer them back. So in his humility, he starts with himself. And he, remember the warning about kings he gave a while back? He says, they're going to take, and 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 they're going to take. And he says, did I take? And then they give witness, no, you did not. My hands are clean. He says, if I did take or I cheat or oppress anybody, you know, he didn't say, well, who cares? Or he didn't say, oh man, I'm in big trouble. No, he says, I'll make it right. I'll make it right. And that's the way we should do it too. You know, we don't live perfect lives. So if we did something, you know, we say, hey, here I stand. Testify against me, and somebody says, well, all right. All right, I'll testify against you. Well, then you say, well, I got to make this right. That's one way you strengthen and reconcile relationships. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But boy, is it important. So there might be some relationships that we have in our own lives that we need to get real with and start getting things right with. And it might even be with the Lord. You know, maybe some of us are still rejecting them just like these guys are. Or we know people in our families, our friends, our neighborhood, our schools, our teams, or our coworkers that have this. Well, then our job is to guide them, to give them these words of hope and peace, that there is a reconciliation that can happen. There can be a restoration that only God can provide. It's so interesting too, because many years in the future from when Samuel said this, listen to these words. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Well, these words are Jesus' words to the Jews. So, you know, Samuel and Jesus, they're speaking, they're on the same heart line right there, right? So we see his heart. We see this man of Samuel who is guarding his heart. Okay, he's listening to the word of the Lord, and he is obedient to that. Even when he didn't want to set up a king, but he was obedient to the Lord. All right? That happens to us. There's times when it's tough, and God's saying, hey, you need it, and we reject it sometimes. But he calls for obedience, even when it's tough. And Samuel did that. And not only did he show obedience, but he stood firm. He stands firm in a faith. He stands firm in a way that his life will also expose the faults or the sins of others as well, if not as his own. And so he stands firm in a faith, and he calls sin as it is. And he addresses it. He exposes it. Have you noticed that? He doesn't let the Israelites off the hook, does he? He doesn't go, oh yeah, we won the victory, let's celebrate and don't worry about the Lord right now. No, he's always bringing it back to the Lord, doesn't he? Even in the celebrations, even in the victories, even in the defeat, it's bringing it back to the Lord and saying, this is where your relationship needs to be. This is where your heart needs to be. Don't fall away. So he is a man of courage and strength. He's a man of love. What an awesome leader. That's why I think he's right up there with Moses. It's not even better. And we always say, let's be like a Daniel. Well, you know what? Now I'm saying, let's be like a Samuel. Wow, I would love to have a leader like this today, leading our nation. I don't know about you. Because you know what he's going to do? Because now he turns the whole focus away from him. And now he puts it right on the Israelites. And right there in verse 7, he says, stand here. Now you're on trial. Let's review some things, guys. Let's go to a little history lesson. And see the state of the union of this country, state of the union where we're at right now. And he calls them to remember Aaron, Moses and Aaron, and how the Lord appointed them and worked through them. See, they weren't a king. Moses wasn't a king. He was like a judge. He was a leader. He was a judge. You can look at him that way. A friend of God, Moses was. Stand here, because I am going to confront you with evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your ancestors. Can you see what he's doing here? He's exposing where they're at. He's saying, guys, we're going to compare you to all the Lord has done for you. And we're just going to begin with Moses and Aaron. I can go back to Abraham, but I'm just going to go to Moses and Aaron. And see where their hearts are in all of this. Well, there in verse 9, it begins. We can see where their heart is, right? What does it say? What does it say in verse 9? They forgot the Lord. Oh man, go back to Deuteronomy. Moses was speaking to the Israelites back then. Be careful lest you forget the Lord. Be careful, because when that happens, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. All these things that you want, they're going to be destroyed, be taken away from you. So he reviews the history. We have it right here in front of us. You know, remember that pattern that the Israelites have? And maybe we have the same pattern. You know, you forget. You know, you got the Lord, you go, yeah, yeah. And then as you walk in life and you start forgetting, and you want to do things on your own, you want to look for a little of your own glory, right? Your own glory. You're looking for a little bit of that. Yeah, it feels good. And then with that, sin comes in, and then God goes, well, I want to bring you back on the path to me, to where you're focused on my glory, so I'm going to put something in your path that's going to cause you to stumble, or danger in your path that will cause your heart to be exposed to where it is right now. And see, and then so here comes a Nahash or all these other guys, and they're going, and they start crying out to the Lord, right? They cry out to the Lord. And they say, save us! Save us! Yeah, we know we're sin. Save us. And we'll serve you again. And of course, by God's grace, he raises up a judge, sends them, empowers them, and then they complete the task and deliver the people once again. And then they live in repentance for a while, and then, oops, we forget the Lord and what he did for us, and we go back to square one. And we go around again. Have you been there? Have you been there? I've been there. Maybe I'm still there. Where am I now? Lord, help me. Yes. And by God's grace, we know, as he says, he does not reject his people. We are his people. They were his people back then. He does not reject. He doesn't abandon us, but he will chasten us. He will discipline. He will punish us. He will get us on that path. And he'll throw some things at us to do that. Because he doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance. He wants that. He desires that relationship with us to where we're, you know what? These guys broke the pattern. Did you see what they did here? Did you see how they broke the pattern? See, now you can go back to chapter 8, remember? And what happened? They say, hey, we want a king. You know why they said that? I got a reason why. I think it's a pretty solid reason. See, the motivator is fear, because Nahash was coming with the soldiers at that time. They saw that and said, oh, I'm done with this. I'm done with this again. We want a king. We want somebody we could touch and then put in place and go out there and fight our battles for us. See, that's where they're at. See, they broke the pattern. Because when sin, see, their sin was there and their disobedience, and God was sending something to bring them back. Instead of crying out to God, what did they do? They cried for what? They cried for a king. They cried for man. Oh, these guys broke the pattern. Oh, those guys, they get an F. They get an F plus, or F minus. That's even worse, isn't it? That's where they're at. Their hearts are exposed. He is exposing their sin right in front of them. You know, he said, look at all God did for you from Aaron, from Moses to Aaron, until, you know, all those other victories. Remember the Ebenezer stone? We just had a victory just a few years ago, you know, maybe 20 years ago or 30 years ago or something like that. And now we just had this great victory and you're still falling away. Because as you look here, they just cry out here. Listen, verse 10. They cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned. All right, now they're starting to get back into pattern again, right? Fine, okay, that's okay. All right. At least they did that. We have forsaken the Lord. Okay, they admit that. And served the Baals and the Ashtaroths. Okay, well, now they're talking about the old guys, really. But actually, oops, I went too far. Where did my thing go? All this is happening to them. And they do react just pretty much the same way they're coming back to that. see Samuel back as you keep going down there in verse 16. It says, "Now then, stand still." There's a lot of standing going on. Here I stand. stand here. And now, stand still. See, in Deuteronomy 8:11 says, "Be careful." This is Moses' words. It says, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day." So there's a warning there. The people were in fear of this army coming at them again. And so, you know, here it goes there in verse 14. Actually, go back to verse 14 there. It says, these are Samuel speaking to him. Says, "If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, and if both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good." Good. You're on the right path now, guys. So he's giving them a little encouragement, a little lifeline there, saying there is an out, guys. There is an out from this sin, this pattern that you began, even this broken pattern. But then he also warns them later. He says, right next there, the next verse says, "But if you do not obey the Lord and if you rebel against his commands, his hands will be against you. His hand will be against you as it was against your ancestors." It's just teaching them. He's teaching them. He's giving them a lifeline, right? He's saying, "Hey, if you guys are serving the Lord, if you get right with him and you and your king are together and you're going in the same direction towards the Lord, well, good for you. This is what you need to do. But if you guys continue to rebel and resist, things aren't going to go well for you. Just like your ancestors." Haven't you clued in, guys? How many times you got ancestors, they talked about these things. You're probably your great-great-granddad still talks about telling these stories of Gideon and these other guys, or Jephthah, or some of these other guys out there. Well, Samuel's heart continues to go forth, right? He sees all, he knows, and he tells him, "Stand still," there in verse 16. And now he's going to turn it again. See, now he's really going to push him now. And some people say, "You go for the jugular." Yeah, he's going for the jugular here, but there's a reason for it, because he loves them. He wants to get them back on the right path. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. So now he's going to call upon the Lord to bring a rainstorm, a thunderstorm, in the dry season. See, this is the wheat season. Thunderstorms don't happen in their area, what I heard, during the dry season. This is a phenomenon that shouldn't happen. And what does it happen? Well, God makes it happen. And what Samuel is saying is, "Hey, look, God does exist. He is all powerful. You know, wake up, guys. Here's just a little bit of evidence that he's real and he's alive and he's the Lord and he's your God if you repent and believe and follow." Simple as that. And then it says a little bit further on there in verse 17, it says a little bit below there, it says, "And you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king." See, now the sin is exposed completely. See, now they're getting hit over the head by the judge's, what is that, the hammer, what is that thing? Gavel, thank you. That's how my English is going sometimes. The gavel coming down on top of your head. That would hurt. Wake you up for sure. There you go. Woken up their sin. So then Samuel called on the Lord, and okay, it happened. And then listen to how the people reacted there in verse 19. The people all said to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die. For we have added to all our other sins the evil asking for a king. Well, you know, they kind of got it right, but they didn't get it fully right yet. You could see where their hearts are, can't they? Can't you? It says, pray to the Lord, not my God, not our God, but your God. You can see the separation there. Can you see it? They've fallen that far away. They've turned from the Lord. And they're going their own way. And you pray for us, please. How many people have asked you, please pray for me to your God? And I go, well, what about your God? Do you have a God? Well, maybe the God is you. Yeah, I do have a God I can pray to. But what about you? And so many people ask him for healing, and that's fine. Physical healing is fine, but you know what? The most important healing is right here. The heart healing, the spiritual healing, getting right with the Lord. Because one day our bodies will fail us, no matter what we do, and we're going to have to meet the Lord face to face. We need healing. I kind of reckon their repentance is that of Pharaoh. Those of us who have been studying in Exodus, how many times did he say, forgive me, I sinned. And then a little bit later on, he went right back to being Pharaoh, resistant, right? And these guys' hearts are far from the Lord as well. But Samuel's love for them and love for the Lord is shown here as well, there in verse 20. And then he starts going, okay, I got you. I hit you over the head with a gavel. Now, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. He says, yeah, you've done all this evil, but not only don't be afraid, but don't turn away. Don't turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. See, you can go to Acts chapter 3, and there's a guy named Peter talking to the people there in Jerusalem after a big miracle happened, and they're always going, whoa, how did this happen? And he says, well, you know, he's looking at him and says, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you state as it Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in Jesus, in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, listen to this. So now he's getting into the Samuel mode. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance. And so did these Israelites. Hard hearts and ignorance. As did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. But now, listen. Repent, then. And What? Repent then and turn to God. Not turn away, but turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. And then there's a warning right at the end there. In verse 23, it says, anyone who does not listen to him, this one that, you know, the Jesus, don't listen to this one, listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. So there's a warning. Turn. The warning is turn. The encouragement is the Lord will receive you if you turn to him with a repentant heart, a true repentant heart. If it's not repentant, if you're saying, pray to me, pray to your God, well then, God, there's no relationship there. It's Samuel talking to God. Now, Samuel says, well, you know, hey, I'm not going to sin because I'm going to continue. I'm not going to sin. I'm going to do what God told me to do, and I'm going to continue to pray for you, and I will teach you what the good and right way. Okay, so he's got that. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. And then he comes up with this. Listen to this. Consider what great things he has done for you. Consider what great things he has done for you. A lot of us are kind of like, well, what have you done for me lately? But I take you to the cross of Christ and say, look at what he has done for you. And stop right there at the cross. You don't need to go any further. You don't have to review your sins. You don't have to go through that. That's all been put on that cross. All of it. Your past sins, your present sins, your future sins are on that cross of Christ, and it is nailed there. And you are free in Christ. He has given you new life in him and through him, and he is in us. And Samuel knew this. He's just pointing all this to Christ. His words, his life is pointing to Christ. His exposing of sin, just like Jesus did in his walk through all those areas of that countryside, and even in the city of Jerusalem, exposing sin, not to condemn them, but so they can understand where their hearts are, the state of their heart address is being happening there. And they can go, oh man, I need God. I need healing. I need to repent. So he says, move on. Don't stand there anymore. Move on in the path of the Lord. Do not be afraid. Serve him with all your heart. But be careful. It says here at the end, yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king that you so wanted will perish. And as we see in our history, that happens. The state of the heart address. Our hearts, your heart. Where are you? Do you need to renew the kingship today? Do you need a king? You know where you're at, or you're blocking off and you're trying to walk in your own little world and you think that you're good enough. Well, that's what the Israelites thought, and you see what happened to them. Well, he's calling us to consider what great things he has done for us. He wants us to be transparent with our lives, our sin before him, confessing, ready to make things right with him. That's what he's looking for, that relationship. And us calling to him and getting real with him. And then turning to him and serving him only with all our hearts. And then asking the Lord to enable us, like Samuel, to live a life that has a heart guarded in the word of God through obedience, even when it was difficult, to be one who will stand firm in faith against all things, to expose the sin around us, to be strong and courageous in the Lord, to be able to witness to Christ, witness about who Christ is and all he's done for us, that other people can hear, and to do all things in love. That's why I pray for Cam, for Nolan, all these years, and I still do. They'll do everything in love. And that's what Samuel's doing here. So wouldn't it be great to have a president come up and give a state of address that's so transparent and reviewing all these things, and then we'll see God, this greatness, all this power, all the things, all of His mercy and grace being exposed throughout the history of the United States. And where we've kind of fallen in that sinful pattern, and seeing where we're at now and how far we are and how we need to be brought back. But you know what? This turning that God's asking for, it doesn't start with the President of the United States. It starts with you and me. The turning of the hearts starts with you and me. And when you turn your heart and you're truly repentant and transparent before the Lord, He's going to work a new thing in you. And he's going to, I don't know, Mark, I know in California, the forests are so dry there, sometimes you'll do a campfire and you think you put it out, but it hits a root and it just smolders there. And all of a sudden, all it takes is a little spark, and boy, my house was almost burned down in 1975. That thing just came down our mountain, and it just took out many houses. Jumped from one to another sometimes. All it takes is a spark. And that's what God is looking here. He just spark your heart again to get transparent with Him. To start with you. See, He appointed Moses, one person. He appointed Gideon, one person, right? He appointed Samson, this that funny guy. You know what else? Who else He appointed? Jesus. He's the anointed one to go forth. And now we have the same anointing on us through Christ to go forth to be a witness to the power and goodness of the Lord to others, to continue on like a Samuel and continue to intercede and pray for those and to teach what is right and good. Yeah, that's our part, to live it like that. And pointing people to the true King. And that's what Samuel was doing all along. Guys, look how good it was. Pretty good with me, wasn't it? Because there was no taking going on, no oppression, no cheating. So why are you going for a king, a man? Oh, we'll find out in just a little bit what the results of that are. It's going, look at what God has done. He's so good and faithful. Why are you turning from that? Because we're evil. Because we're sinners. Because we're prideful. Because we want everything our way. But Samuel says, no, this is your true King right here. God is your true King. I'll renew the kingship and trusting that this King will give his life and follow the Lord in obedience as well, for us as well. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time and your word and for Samuel's life and for his ministry and what an example it is, and for the encouragement, the challenge for us and the encouragement, Lord, that you use the one, the Samuels, to stir a nation and draw them back to you. And sometimes it's not so easy, but there is a light there. And so, Father, may we be lights amongst our families and our neighborhoods and our friends and co-workers and teammates and all that, Lord. May we walk with this love of the Lord in our hearts, being prayerful and watchful, being obedient unto you. And may you use our lives to bring glory to your name. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of his people say, amen.